Well, today is the first Sunday of Advent. We begin the journey to Bethlehem, to the manger. During this year, we'll be marking the journey in several ways. As always, we'll light the Advent candles. There is in the foyer a daily devotional book. It actually begins the day. A reading for each day. If you'd like to get one of those, they're there. On each Sunday, we'll consider a character or several characters as we make our way. Today, we will remember and give thanks and consider the life of Mary. And so, let's light the first candle, the Advent wreath. Let us pray together. Lord of life, you came among us in Mary. We give thanks for your presence with us, Emmanuel. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to pray today for those who are celebrating and giving thanks to continue our Thanksgiving that we had on Thursday, to offer thanks for family and for the beauty of God's creation. We also want to pray for those for whom things are difficult now. W.L. Kennedy, who usually sits right here, W.L.'s been in the hospital for going on a week now. We want to remember him and his wife Patsy and all their family. Several in our circle of church family have known losses. Kirsten Atwell's mom died this past week, and there'll be a burial service at Valhalla today at 2. Johnny Sharp lost his grandmother last Sunday. Gwen Halsey's sister in Minnesota died. So remember all of these and others. There'll be a place in the prayer for you to name a name or concern. To say it aloud if you'd like to. I invite you to do that. And then we'll conclude with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray together, shall we? God of mercy, God of light, God who was before all worlds, and you who came among us, we give thanks for your presence in our life, that you're not aloof, far off, and distant from us, but to show us you love us, you come among us. As a child, one we could never fear, one we're drawn to. We thank you that you crossed over into our world and into our life. Lord, we lift before you our thanks for the beauty of this creation, for the rain that nourishes the earth, for the gift of families, for laughing together, for feasting together, for families and the love we experience there. We give thanks for our nation. We give thanks for those who serve, our nation, and particularly in difficult places and far away from their homes. Lord, we pray for all people of goodwill in all places, that a glimpse of your kingdom and your promise of peace would urge us all to love better and to be reconciled and to learn the things that lead to peace. Lord, hear the prayers we offer as your people now. And those we name in our hearts. Give comfort to the weary and rest. Give release to those who are imprisoned, body, mind, spirit. Lord, give courage to those who are afraid. Give strength to all of us, strength beyond our own strength. Be near to those who grieve. May they know light beyond their darkness. All these things we ask in the name of the one who was and is to come, our Lord and Savior, in whose way we pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today we consider Mary. We meet her in the first chapter of Luke. If you want to read about Mary, you go to Luke. If you want to read about Joseph, you go to Matthew, and we'll get there. But today, hear these words. It's the first chapter. We'll begin at verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And Gabriel came to her and said, Greetings, favor one, the Lord is with you. But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I'm a virgin? The angel said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative, Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Then Mary said, Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Then the angel departed from her. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, open our hearts, our imaginations, our spirits to You're coming more alive to us now than ever before. In Jesus' name, amen. I have lots of different study Bibles, and I have discovered a mistake in several of them. I could be wrong. I'm wrong often, but I think there's a mistake. The mistake is in my New Revised Standard Version Study Bible. And the mistake is in the New International Bible Study Bible. Now, the mistake is not in the actual words, the translation. But you know, originally, the New Testament, it didn't have chapters, didn't have verses. Those numbers didn't come on the original thing. That was added in somebody sort of wrote that, so it would be easier for us to find things. Those numbers only been around several hundred years. And those little chapter headings, that's all new. Their translators just added those in so that we could find our way around the Bible. For example, if we're looking for the prodigal son parable, you know, we can flip through and it says parable of the prodigal son. Well, that wasn't in the original. In fact, in the original Greek, they didn't even have spaces between the words and punctuation. It was just letter after letter. So, these translators added in these little headlines, little headings for each little chapter, little verse, or little story. And the mistake is in Luke 5. It's the story of how Jesus comes and he calls some fishermen to come and follow him. There's James and John, these brothers, and then there's Simon Peter. And they're fishing, and Jesus comes to them by the Sea of Galilee, and he says, "Leave your nets and your boats and come and follow me." And they do. And that's where the mistake is, in the title. Because the translators chose to call that title on chapter 5, Jesus Calls the First Disciples. And that's a mistake. The reason I believe it's a mistake, and not to take anything away from James or John or Simon Peter, but they're not the first disciples. The first ones in Luke, the first one to stop what they're doing and to let God change their life and redirect their life and interrupt their life, that's Mary. Mary has that honor. Mary is the first one, according to today's reading, to believe that Jesus is the one. He is the one who will save us and save the world. Mary is the first one. Now, not to demean Simon Peter or James and John. They will go on to do great things and they will be great people. But in this story, as you keep reading it, they're called to give up their fishing boats and their fishing nets. Mary, on the other hand, is called to allow her body, her spirit, her mind, her soul to be reshaped by God. Now, like I say, I don't know everything, and I'm wrong a lot of times. But I am guessing, just guessing, being pregnant for 9 months and being a mother for 30 years, that's a bigger deal than just quit being a fisherman for a while. I mean, you know, I think that's bigger. Luke begins with Mary. I think she's the prototype for a disciple. Mary is the first disciple. She's the first follower. She's the model. We Protestants have traditionally not done much with Mary in the sense that I know there are Methodist churches in North Alabama named St. Mark, St. Paul, St. Matthew, St. Luke, St. John. I don't know of a single Methodist church named St. Mary's. We Protestants have kind of missed out on that. But Luke tells us right there, chapter 1, I think she's a model of what it means to be a Christian disciple. The first thing about Mary is this grace business. The angel Gabriel comes to her and he says, "Greetings, favored one." That's how the translations say, "Greetings, favored one." We don't talk like that. I love the way the Message paraphrase puts it. Eugene Peterson, not a translation, but a paraphrase, trying to get it into today's English. He has the angel, Gabriel's a little more hip. He comes and he says, "Good morning. You're beautiful with God's beauty. Beautiful inside and out." That's what he says. When we really get Jesus, it will be an experience of grace. Not Jesus the judge, Jesus the accuser, Jesus who makes us feel worse about ourselves. But when we get Jesus, it's an experience of grace. God comes to Mary and he says, "Favored one, you are dear to me. You are mine. I pick you. I favor you." You know, we all, I suppose, walk around with varying degrees of feelings of inferiority, you know, little insecurities, or maybe some big insecurities. There are just things we don't like about ourselves. And there are things we know that if others knew about us, that they would like us even less. I mean, we have issues with our bodies. We imagine we're too tall, too short. We're too heavy, too light. We have too much hair or not enough hair. We're not smart enough, we fear. Or we're not physically developed enough, we fear. We have all kind of things we carry around, that little things that, you know, we're just not as good as the others. We think we're the only ones who have families that embarrass us sometimes. You know, we think we're the only ones. But when we encounter Jesus, God in Jesus, we hear, "You are a favored one." My sisters sometimes joke, I have one, she said, "Well, you know I'm the favorite of the four." And our reply is, "Well, Mother told me I was the favorite." And then the other pipes out, "Well, Mother told me I was favorite." And the other mother told. Meeting Jesus is understanding we are His favorite, every one of us. This story is about God's yes to Mary. And that's what starts us on our walk with Christ. It begins with a yes. Baptism is this sacrament we do, and we get the idea of baptism from when Jesus was baptized. And when Jesus was baptized, there is this voice that comes from heaven. It's God, and He says, "This is my child, my son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." Some translations say, "In whom I delight." You know, that's how it begins. And that's what your baptism means. Your baptism is God saying yes to you. I delight in this one. And that's how, that's Mary, you know, just right at the beginning of her story, we meet, she gets it, that she is somehow favored. God has claimed her as a beloved. And then the second way I think that Mary is a model for discipleship is this way she encounters something bigger than herself. The angel says to her, "Don't be afraid, you have found favor with God. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and His kingdom will have no end." And Mary says to the angel, "How can this be? I'm a virgin." Mary encounters something she doesn't quite understand. This doesn't quite add up. This doesn't compute. Mary says, "I don't understand. How can this be?" I think our faith begins when we encounter something we don't fully understand, because not only do we have issues with our body and inferiority and self-worth, we have control issues. Maybe you don't, but maybe I bet somebody who lives with you does. You know, we want to be right. We want to be in charge. We want to be in the know, because knowledge is power. But Mary meets something that she doesn't fully understand. She can't control. She can't manage. She can't arrange, program. She can't fix. She can't quantify. She says, "How can this be?" You know, sometimes modern people object to this notion of virgin birth. Well, if you have questions about that, you are in good company. Mary didn't get it, how that could be. It's not logical. It's not explainable. She knew how new life started. I think that's the point. Faith begins when we admit that there is more in this universe than our puny minds can get around. There are things that are bigger than our little mental models and our categories. There are things we have trouble getting our head around, like virgin mother. Wait a minute. We don't understand how those two things can go together. Fully human, fully divine. That's what we say about Jesus. How can you be two things at once that are sort of contradictory? The first will be last. The last will be first. Well, wait a minute. The last is first. How can that be? The Spirit becomes flesh. Wait a minute. Aren't those two different things? So you got all these things. And Mary admits that there are things beyond her understanding. And faith, you see, faith is not us knowing everything about God. Faith is us knowing that there is much we do not know, and we simply trust nonetheless. That's faith. You see, faith is not having everything nailed down. Faith is saying there are things we don't know, but we trust. We trust that God is good. We trust that this mystery we cannot control or we cannot manage, we can't fully understand, that is trustworthy. It's a beautiful humility about what we know, and that's how it is with Mary. Oh, Mary is the first one that understands how she is favored and beloved in grace, and she is the one who understands the limits of her own understanding, which is faith. And that leads her to saying, "Here I am." Which is kind of the third way she's a model for us. She says, "Let it be." She's this prototypical Christian because she surrenders to this mystery of being loved by God that she can't understand, and she says yes to it. She says yes to these physical changes that will come in her body, consenting to become with child. And you know, the creation story begins with the breath of heaven. God says, "Let there be," and it comes into being. How does a word become something alive? Or another way, in Genesis, God breathes the breath into the human. And in that story, the human doesn't have anything to say about it. He's just inert. He's a lump of clay. But in this story, you know, Mary is asked, do you wish this? Do you accept this? It's a model of how it is for us, because whether we like it or not, God is present in our lives and in our world. Bidden or unbidden, God is here. Invited or uninvited, God is here. You can't keep God out. God is here. The thing is, God loves us, but God wants our love for God to be non-coerced. He doesn't want us to be manipulated. He wants us simply to love Him. And God says yes to us first, but then God lets us say yes to Him. And Mary says yes. Mary says yes to the yes that was pronounced over her first. And she consents to have her life completely turned upside down. You know, someone once said, becoming a mother means you will live the rest of your life with your heart running around outside of your body. Some of you moms get that, I think. In ways we dads can only barely comprehend. Mary says yes. Mary says yes. So, Advent is the season when we are saying yes again, too. We're decorating our houses and decorating our churches because we're getting ready for company. That's the sort of symbolism of getting ready. When company comes, we put on our best. And that's what we're doing. You know, the birthday is not ours. The party is not about us. It's about getting ready to receive one. And so, in this season, we're getting ready to say welcome and say yes to this one who has already welcomed us. We want God to be more alive in us than ever before. We want to be disciples like Mary, the first one, who humbly welcomes Christ into her life. So, let's make this journey together, welcoming God to grow in us. Amen. Let us pray. God, we stand amazed that You love us. We stand amazed that the force and the power that created the stars and the moon and the universe loves us and knows us. We give thanks You came to us in a baby. A baby we could never fear. A baby that draws us, that charms us. Oh Lord, in this season, draw us again. Help us to say yes once more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That will enable more of our families to be a part. Well, would you stand as we go forth? You are God's children, God's favored ones, the ones upon whom His favor rests. He has said yes to you. So I invite you to say yes to Him more and more every day and go in His peace, and may the light of Him whose star is rising upon you bring you hope and bring you joy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.